Blog Talk Radio.
Doing today?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, everyone. First of all, I want to extend hello to everybody. How's everybody doing? It's yours truly, Mr. Naz, and we are now in the midst of I call it a movement. And of course, I could not have this vision while people like Mr. Edward Fairley. Is he online or not? Brother Ed, you online? I think he's not with us. Hello? Raven.
I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, I guess who else we have on the line? I guess we're just seeing you now.
Okay. You can do it.
Okay. Yeah, no doubt. Once again, we're just checking in. It's yours truly, Mr. Naz, and we got the lovely Miss Raven of Raven's Closet. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. Hello, New Jersey. Hello, Tri-State area.
Okay. Well, once again, for those just checking us out, we are the Man Up Talk Show. And what we're going to do is we're going to basically talk about a lot of things that affect our men. And we have Miss Raven on deck to give a woman's perspective. There's a lot of things going on through our
mm-hmm.
community. And there's a lot of things going on with our men and our women. You know, just want a little more clarity. Let's say that, a little more clarity. And so I invited a couple of men to chop it up a little bit. We, you know, kind of just talk about life in general and maybe answer some of those things. Tonight we're going to have a friend of mine. His name is Dewan. He's a recording artist. He'll be joining us a little later on. Who else will be online? You know, we'll have one of my partners, Mr. Hassan Black. He'll be on deck to check in on the panel. He's just getting off work, of course. He's a CEO of Shadow Worlds Entertainment. He's played from New York to New Jersey, DJing-wise, and he's a mentor and a father, so he has a lot to say. And we have, let me see, my man, brother Ed Gladney. He's a former owner of the New Jersey Warriors Community Football Organization. He will be on deck as well. So we have a couple of men that will be checking in tonight, and we invite everybody to call in. You know, if you want to call in and just talk with us and ask questions, the number is going to be posted. We'll say open line. For those who are checking us out, it's 646 478-4507. I believe we have Brother Mr. Fairley. Brother Edwards on the line? I see he's online, but he's not responding. He may be on hold right now. So, what's for those who are checking us out, Miss Sonia, you want to explain to everybody what is Raven's Closet and why you decided to join up and be a part of this panel?
Oh, sure. Thank you. As Mr. Nass said, I am Sonia, and I am the host of Raven's Closet Talk Show each and every Thursday on www.talkshoe.com. You can follow me on Facebook at Raven's Closet, Raven's Closet. You can check out our website, www.ravenscloset.talkshow.com. And I am so honored to be part of the movement and to voice from a woman's perspective. I probably won't be able to speak for every female, but probably those of like-minded like myself who would like to know a little bit more insight or hear a man's point of view, just speaking from real talk, you know, nothing sugar-coated, nothing that's going to hurt my feelings, but just be real about it. Just give the real, you know, what's going on with men and how what it is that men do. And then, you know, I'll try my best to give you from a woman's perspective. I can't speak for all women, but I'll give you as much viewpoint as I can as to why women are the way we are and how we think. But I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be part of Shadow World Entertainment Camp. I know that you and I are partnering up on a few projects, and I'm so honored and grateful to see that, you know, happening where two entities can work together without it being drama. You know, we could be adults and voice our opinions and come together and just say, hey, I don't think that's right. Oh, okay. You hear my viewpoint, I hear yours, and we compromise. And I think that's what adults should do.
Absolutely.
In this day and age, you know, we need to do this instead of, you know, what we see being portrayed on reality shows, because that's not real reality. You know, that's basically stuff that people get paid to do, to act a fool.
No. You're absolutely correct. I think we have someone on the line. Let me see who we got. I know we have a couple of panel brothers calling in. Let me see who we're on the line real quick. Let me see. Give me a hot minute here. For those who are checking in, once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. This is Movement, where we bring reality from an everyday experience. You're on the line with a Man Up Talk Show with Mr. Nass and Ms. Raven. Who's on the line with us?
This is Ed Gladney.
I think he's checking in. Oh, okay. All right, for those just checking in, I want to say extend a hello and a shout-out to my man and brother, good friend, Mr. Ed Gladney. For those who don't know who Mr. Gladney is, I mean, I don't want to go too deep on it, but Mr. Gladney has done a lot for a lot of young men. Ed, if you don't mind, brother, you want to kind of, you know, introduce yourself to listeners, and of course, we got Raven, Miss Raven, online from the Raven's Closet Talk Show. She's here with us as well.
Sure, not a problem.
You want to explain to everybody a little bit about who you are?
Sure, I'll definitely do that for you. My name is Ed Gladney. First of all, I'm a single father of three girls, proud single father, and they're my pride and joy. As far as how I help the community, a lot of it has been through football, either through youth football, minor league, semi-pro, or indoor football. And I've developed a lot of mentoring with young men, helping them understand through football the game of life, you know, learning the responsibilities through discipline, hard work, dedication, commitment, you know, that type of avenues. And that's some of the things that I like to bring to a lot of young men or women, you know, whoever wants to be mentored and look for better ways.
Of course, definitely. And now, you said that you did, you know, I worked with you, played for you, you know, how has, I guess, what you do with the minor league and the semi-pro, how has it helped a lot of our inner city youth?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Yeah, let me repeat it. I'm not sure if you heard me or not. Now, how has it, as far as helped a lot of, in your, perspective, how has it, what you do as far as the semi-pro and minor league helped out a lot of our inner city youth?
Well, it's helped out with certain guys where some guys have gone on to follow their dreams of going to play certain levels of indoor football. I've seen certain guys go up to even Arena One. Years past, we've helped guys who, you know, have gone on to get different tryouts either in Canada, overseas. A couple of guys have even tried out for the NFL. They learned the disciplines that is necessary, you know, what they need to do to focus and commit themselves to being better men. You know, they take the responsibility that is needed to put their lives in proper positions. You know, also a lot of the guys who don't go that far, you know, who continue to play, you know, they end up being positive role models for, number one, their own families, their children, you know, siblings, nieces, nephews. They continue to work hard, you know, stay off the streets. You know, they follow those avenues. You know, a lot of guys still talk to me, you know, about coach, you know, this is what's going on, what do you think? You know, and they ask, you know, little advice, and I try my best to, you know, guide them in the right direction. You know, those are the type of things that I like to try and do for young men or women.
Ed, this is Sonia
from
Raven's Closet, and my question is, how long have you been a mentor?
You would say from the time I first started coaching, 30-plus years. I started, you know, at a young age in my team, and that's – I actually had a good mentor, and, you know, he showed me certain responsibilities. You know, even when I went to college and played a little bit in college, you know, I always stepped back and I always, you know – talked to Coach Palmer and dealt with him, and he always guided me. And then in turn, you know, that's some of the things that I've liked to do is bring back to a lot of young men. You know, I have guys who played at this level, and they're throughout the – now they're throughout the country. I mean, guys that I know are playing down south, and a couple guys are out in the Midwest. And I try to instill in them a certain sense of responsibility. You know, some guys grab hold of it, some don't, but, you know, I'm proud of the fact that some of the guys really grab hold to that. And, you know, as far as Nas, that's how, you know, we got hooked up, and he saw some of the things that I've always talked about, you know, and coached about or preached about, but, you know, the key points that I try to bring to young men and women, you know, about being responsible, doing what, you know, what they need to do. You know, number one, like with myself, you know, leading by example. You know, the guys see that, you know, hey, I've heard, you know, oh, it's great that you're a single father. You know, to me, it shouldn't be great. It's my responsibility. That's what I'm supposed to do. Those are my children. Those are my pride. That's my joy. You know, I love them to death, and I'm going to be there for them. And that's what, you know, I try to shine or lead by example to young men that, hey, you can be there no matter what, whether you have a son or a daughter. You can still be there, you know, daily to be interact in their lives, to make sure that they're guided in the right direction and headed for a brighter future.
Have you found that that the ones that don't heed your message or take to your message, that eventually they get it, or they just continue to go down the wrong path?
It's actually both. I mean, some guys do, you know, as they get older, you know, they come back and they say, Coach, you know, you spoke on, you know, this, doing that, you know, and I ran into this situation, and you were so right. And there's other guys who, you know, hey, they don't want to listen. They're grown men. You know, they're going to do what they want to do, and, you know, whatever happens in their life transpires. I mean, it's an unfortunate situation when it does, but, you know, then they just have to deal with the consequences. If they come to me and they still talk to me, fine. I'm here for you. You know, I'll give you the best advice that I can, try and put you in the right direction. You know, if you don't, you know, I just will continue to pray for you and hope, wish for the best for you.
Yeah, wow.
Now, Ed, now let me ask, I'm going to just, you know, Tony, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Ed, now, you know, it's funny you said this right here, that you're talking about accountability, because that's, you know, actually our topic for tonight, the male accountability. You know, like you said, and I agree with you, you know, myself being a father of four, you know, it's not like I call it an obligation. It's a responsibility, you know, accountable for, you know, if you're man enough to lay up, you know, you got to be man enough to be accountable for your actions. And then these children have to come here. And I agree with you totally. And all those young men out here, you know, I hear little grumblings about, oh, she got me in child support. Listen, you know, you laid up. You did, you know, you made the baby, you got to man up at the end of the day. You have to man up. So I definitely agree with you. And, you know, it's not so much an obligation, it's a responsibility. It's become your family. It has to come. So I totally agree. If you guys don't mind, I think we have our brother, Mr. Fairley, online. Let me see if I can bring him in, if you don't mind, for a quick second. Okay. I believe we have Mr. Ed Fairley. Hello.
Fairly, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Mr. Fairley, he's on. Yeah. Okay, brother. All right. Just real quick, everybody, just to intercede. The other panelists on deck right now is the nationally renowned, highly respected brother, author of Relationships IQ. Am I saying it correct, brother?
Increasing your relationship IQ.
Nah, this man is on point. He's one of the best. I mean, man's got me thinking a whole different way. So we want to welcome him to the show. And there's a lot of things coming on in the future. You know, so we want to congratulate him and welcome him and all what he does.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. How y'all doing this evening?
Hey, it's my brother from another mother.
We'll be okay. Mr. Ed Gladney, you know, I want to introduce you to Mr. Ed, you know, the two Eds online, you know, so I don't know if you guys want to introduce yourselves.
How you doing, Mr. Gladney? Just to make it simple, everybody calls me Big Ed, so it'll be easier that way.
Actually, I don't even like Ed, so it'll be easier to just call me Eddie. So it'd be even easier. I don't like to be called Ed at all. So please call me Eddie. Please.
Oh, and I like to refer to him,
my brother from another mother.
As I like to refer to him, he's my brother from another mother.
But it's definitely nice to meet you, Mr. Gladney. So we're talking about accountability.
Awesome. Yes, sir.
Wow.
And congratulations. I know you have that baby on the way, brother.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We are.
Hey, listen, man. You know, I get inspired. Accountability. Congratulations, brother. You about to have that baby soon, right?
Oh, yeah. 2 months. April 14th.
That's truly a blessing.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
It is, brother. It really is. So what's your take on Eddie as far as male accountability?
Y'all know, it's where I'm going to start off with. It's people accountability. I know it's a male show, but it's just people accountability, period. But, you know, me being a mentor, I that stuff I preach and teach all the time with my boys. I mentor you. Young man from 11 to 18 years of age weekly, and I always teach him about accountability. But the thing I try to instill in them with that accountability prior to even getting to that point is different situations. We have to create situations for them to think about prior to them actually having to experience those situations and make decisions when it actually occurs. So what I tend to do is, especially with my young guys, and even when I consult marriage couples and single couples, is great example. This 2 weeks ago, my mentoring session, what I had the boys do was line up horizontally and close their eyes, and I had them arm lengths apart. And what they did while they closed their eyes, I provided them with a scenario. I give them a scenario. They have to continue with their eyes closed. And then I, after the scenario is given, I give them a two choices to make. I give them option A and option B. If they pick option A with their eyes still closed, they take one step forward. If they pick option B, they take one step backward. And then after they make their decision, they open their eyes to see where everybody's decision was made. After they open their eyes and see where everyone is, the rules are no one is to talk badly about the person's decision, but they're to listen to each other's reasoning and rationale behind the decision-making. I ask each individual person why they made the decision that they made. And what they find is, though they don't make the same decision, because of their backgrounds and the way that they think, their answers aren't necessarily dumb. Great example. The first question that I asked was, okay, you went camping with your mother, your best friend, and it was just you, your mother, and your best friend, y'all all went camping, and say they both got bit by a snake, but you only had enough venom to save one of them. Which one would you save, your mother or your best friend? And interestingly enough, most of them picked their mothers, but one of them picked their best friend. Now, of course, the boys that picked their mother, looking at the boy
really?
That picked their best friend, yeah, the boy that picked their best friend, like, what is wrong with you? So I asked all the guys that picked their mom, why would they pick their mom? I got answers like, well, that's my mother. She birthed me. That's my blood, da-da-da-da. Then I go down the line. Another kid was like, well, if I don't save my mother, who's going to take care of me? Then the other boy that picked his mom was like, well, that's a no-brainer. That's my mother. Looking at the kid that picked his best friend. So then I finally got to the kid that picked his best friend, and I was like, okay, why did you pick your best friend? He said, well, because my mother is much older than me, and she's lived her life. My friend is the same age as me, and we have a long life ahead of us. Not to mention my mother had said that the children are our future, and she would want me to choose the child. So now the boys are looking like, dang, I didn't agree with him at first, but now what he said makes sense. See, most of the time we just hear the choice that people make. We never get to the root of why they made the choice, which is why we're not really healing people or helping people, because we're just treating the solution or just throwing people to jail or whatever they're doing. We're not trying to figure out why they did what it is that they did. And what happened immediately from that session, we talked about sex and everything. They learned so much, and they began to not judge each other's decisions, but wanting to understand why they made the decision that they made. And they also realized that their values change depending on the situation. They might have strong values for one thing, but they might flip those values when the situation changed. Because flip, check this. After that, I made them get right back in line, and I said, okay, same scenario. Now you are the best friend, and you and the best friend's mother get bit by the snake. How many of you all will want the best friend to save you? Do you know three of the boys that said that gave me the whole spiel about family and blood wanted the friend to save them? Just that fast.
Of course. Of course.
They changed. Their values changed. They disregarded the whole, that's my mother. What are you talking about? She takes care of me, whatever. They disregarded that when it came to their lives being saved. So they realized that your values change, your decision-making change depending on the situation, but at the same token, they went into, I forced them to go into that place so that they can be experienced with those decision-making problems before actually having those decision-making problems. Now, of course, that one is a little dramatic, but of course, we went into sex, having sex without a condom, the situations when that comes into play, why would you make the decision that you make? And it's kind of like a, what do people that fly planes and stuff, they have to get on a simulator. It's like a simulator of life is what I try to do when I deal with these
right.
children, so that they can experience the things before they actually experience the things. So that's my take. I mean, accountability, you have to understand your reasoning behind your decision making, and it has to be your decision. That's why I make them make the decision with their eyes closed, because I can't allow you to be influenced by your decision. You feel what I'm saying? So accountability, you have to first understand that it's your decision and accept the consequences behind it. So that's pretty much it. Don't get me started talking. Let's go ahead and get everybody
up. Hold on. You said something. Say, you know what? You did it again, Eddie. You said something. You said, understand the consequences. You know, it's funny you say that because a lot of times, believe it, our young people don't understand the decision you make. There is a consequence because they live for today. Because I have a stepson in the home and he does his thing. And then I ask him, did you think about the consequence? He says, no. Straight up, flat face, no. Just me, stone face, no. He doesn't think about it. How can we get our younger people to see, how you say, the consequence? Because, we live in an age of now. How do we get that mind state to change? Or what can we do?
Well,
I mean, I know we're just a group of guys and a woman at the table right now. What can we do?
That's enough. First of all, that's enough. All we need is a group of guys because us group of guys can recruit a group of guys and more group of guys, and she can recruit more people. So we can start a movement. But as far as what I do is I always speak in questions to my children. I don't tell them to do anything. I talk in questions, which means they have to answer them when I speak to them. So that always puts them in a state of questioning what they're about to do and the results that are going to come from what it is that they're doing. Just like today, my daughter was jumping around and spinning, and I said, all right, I see you jumping around and spinning. Now, when you hit your head on that wall that you're spinning by, who are you going to come to crying to, and they're not going to care? And she stopped jumping and spinning around, and she said, but she stopped because she thought about the situation, and she knew after she hurt herself she was going to come to me, and I'm going to disregard her because I already told her about jumping around and spinning. So I always talk in questions to make them start thinking in questions. Questioning everything. That I've always taught my children everything, especially when someone introduces you with a title. I'm Dr. Such and Such. I am author such and such. I'm public speaker such and such. I'm lawyer such and such. Because for some reason, they felt the need to share their position to make you feel that they are someone of value so that you can automatically assume that what they say is truth. No, I'm just Eddie.
Okay. Now, Big Ed, I mean, you have, three kids, right?
Three daughters, yes.
Hello? Three daughters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, have you used that same approach? I mean, I found myself sometimes using that same approach. How has it worked for you?
Sometimes I have used that approach. You know, most of the times, as, you know, they say to me, I lecture too much, which is fine because that lets me know, because half the times they end up coming back to me and saying, you know, Daddy, this is what happened. One of the key things is I tell my daughters point blank, you know, when it comes to sex, you want to have sex? You want to lay down with somebody? Understand the responsibility that entails. You want to lay down and make an adult decision? Then handle the adult consequences. If you end up pregnant, and you have chosen that guy, so you need to in turn live with that guy because that's the one you chose to lay down with, because sex is not just a fleeting moment. It's something that is special, and you just don't give up what you have just to anybody. And my oldest, who's 24, I had told her I'll go get her some condoms just so she can have in her purse, and she said the perfect thing to me. She said, Daddy, I ain't got time for that. I'm worried about school, getting into medical school, getting my career going. Once I'm done with that, then I can look into getting married and having a family and doing it that way. And that let me know all my lectures are getting through to my children.
Okay. I love her already. That's awesome. That's awesome. What about you, Raven? Anything you had to deal with? I know you deal with a lot of young ladies. I mean, has that approach worked you as well?
Well, I don't get the same reactions, but the few workshops I've worked on with young girls and young teenage girls, and I think I'm getting through to them because they had this look on their face like the light bulb just went off. So I take that as a sign that I did get through to them, but I did leave them with enough information that will give them some food for thought in regards to who's your true friend, pick, you know, making sure you pick the right people to be in your inner circle, who's going to support you, who's not going to lead you down the wrong way, recognizing those who are just there because they want to get in your business and know what's going on, and just to make, you know, conscious choices. And I had one young lady come up to me and ask me after the workshop, why is it that we have so much dissension amongst ourselves? And I said, well, you know, it has a lot to do with just basic upbringing and what they see in the home versus what someone took the time to educate them on. And when you see what is a generational cycle, you're going to continue to repeat it until someone comes along and says, you know, you don't have to do that. You know, you can do something else. There are other choices. And once they learn that or understand that there are choices and you don't have to continue on what I like to call the hamster wheel, keep going around and around, repeating the same cycle over and over, then I think that will free them to make better choices, pick better friends, know that their education is the most important thing and that education is the key to whatever it is that they want to do further along in their life. And they only need those who are like-minded that, again, will support them, positiveness, who's not going to take them down the wrong path. But I think what we're all saying collectively is that we have to present them with the right choices.
Mm-hmm. And Naz, if I may interject, the reason why I speak in question is and I don't do much lecturing is because what I found in my experience, when you lecture, people tend to not listen, and not to mention it's you talking and you making a decision for that person. But if I'm asking you questions and I'm forcing you to think, the things that you say are the things that you know and you grasp from the conversation that we're having. I do not trust that me saying something to you is me getting across to you, but I trust that if you can regurgitate what I'm thinking or I'm trying to get to me on your own free will without me forcing it out of you, that you know exactly what I'm talking about. Even our actions don't necessarily express what's going on, and I feel the need to sit down and converse with people and ask them questions to see if they're really grasping what it is. Because you have children that will say, yeah, they get it just to shut you up, or because they don't even feel confident enough to say, no, I don't get it, because they feel they're getting embarrassed about not knowing something. And a good example of your actions don't necessarily say to the person what's going on. I remember, I think I did a thought of the day about this about a month or two ago. All this time, my daughter is 6 years old, I've been always opening her doors and her mother door from her since she was little. And a few, like 4 or 5 months ago, my daughter, she came to me so excited saying that, Daddy, I'm a big girl now, I can open the door myself. And I was so disappointed in myself. I was disappointed in myself because I'm like, no, that's wrong. So you took me opening the door for you and your mom as me being a big person, and you aspire to be able to open your door yourself as opposed to realizing that it's a man's job to open up the door for you as a gentleman. So I had to sit her down and say, no, sweetie, I'm glad that you know how to open up a door. I never doubted that you could, but when you are with me and a gentleman, what I need you to do is stop at the door and expect for me to open it for you. So I was not opening the door because you were too little to do so. I was opening the door because that's the type of man you deserve in your life and you should expect from here on out. So even though my actions were doing the right thing.
Ooh, I like that.
Teaching the thing. It wasn't teaching what I was trying to teach her. She didn't grasp it the way that I was teaching it. So it's imperative that we communicate more with just doing, more with just telling, because first of all, it's not until they say it that they're going to receive it. You can tell a girl that she's being abused, and I believe on your show, Raven, we spoke about this on abuse. I've talked to young ladies that are abused, and girls tell me, well, I have a friend that's abused. And I tell her that she's stupid all the time. What do I do to get her to stop going back to the guy? I said, well, first of all, stop telling the girl she's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't help. I said, and second of all, you should give her a story, a scenario about
right.
you. Take her outside of her situation. Draw a story. Maybe even put you in and say, hey, what if I was with a guy that, don't make it a dead-on story about her, but what if I was with a guy that was doing such and such and such and such to me, what would you tell me to do? And just shut up. Sit back and shut up and listen to her talk about how terrible that situation is and how you need to get out. And then that's your opportunity to say, well, why are you going through it? So out of her
mm-hmm.
mouth, she has taught herself or said it and told herself that it is wrong for her to be in the situation that she's in. The first step in any kind of 12-step program is to admit that you are
mm-hmm.
addicted or an addict or what have you. So if out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, if you can get that child or that person to say that what's going on is wrong, then they are convicted in their spirit that it's wrong, not because you said it, because kids will listen and just disregard
mm-hmm.
if it's coming from you. But it's not until they realize it for themselves that it doesn't plant and germinate into something that will cause them to stop doing what they're doing or making a bad decision that they're making.
And you know, and I agree with you on that
right.
because I've done that with one of my workshops. I remember, I think it was last year, and I did a workshop with young girls at my church, and we talked about friendship and recognizing the different types of friendship. And I did just that. I posed a question to them and had them talk among themselves. And when I got them to talking amongst themselves, and towards the end, they all collectively said the same thing that I was hoping that they would say,
mm-hmm.
is that,
yeah.
This is a true friend. B, this is a friend who's just your cheerleader, but really don't wish you well. So they went down the line, and I was just amazed at how once I did that and put them in that group setting for them to talk amongst themselves, and I think it was just a scenario I made up that I pulled from, I guess, one of the reality shows. And when they finished and they all came to the same answer and conclusion, I was like, okay, yeah, they get it. They get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, okay. And then it was a couple that I saw in the workshop, in the group, that, like I said, they had that light bulb moment, like, oh, I didn't know what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what that means. And
yeah,
then once I
yeah.
showed them the different levels and I pulled it from the biblical sense and also translated for, today's language, and I showed them the comparison and how one was the same and, the differences, and the light bulbs that went off and really like, oh, so that's when they say, you're my comrade. Okay, that's what that means, what we read in history class about comrades. I mean, yeah, that's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had one young lady pose the question to me, and I flipped the question back to her. And I said, well, how would you handle that situation
mm-hmm.
if that was your cousin or your younger sister? How would you advise them on what to do? And just to see the conversation amongst them was like, okay, they get it.
Yeah,
but it's just that
too.
Someone's there to show them.
Yeah.
And sometimes they might not have that. And to come to other people, on the outside looking in to help them see the bigger picture and to really say, okay, yeah, this can work. This can
yeah.
work. Not what we see on TV, not what we see in videos, but in everyday life, yeah, this can work.
I mean, the worst thing to have to say is, I didn't raise my child to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need to ask your child these kind of questions to see what kind of answers or response they're going to get. You might be raising them a certain way, but that might not be how they're receiving it, or based
exactly.
on the way you're raising them. So
mm-hmm.
it's our due diligence to
exactly.
to question our children and the people that we are mentoring, because I don't mentor just children, to make sure that they're getting it the way that we're presenting it. So.
Exactly. And then two,
exactly.
Is a lot. There's also, once you get to the root of it and really see the bigger picture, then it kind of, like all the, like they say, the puzzle pieces all fit together. And
mm-hmm.
you can see where everything plays into a certain child's life and how, oh, okay, well, this child's situation is so much different than this child's situation.
Exactly.
But it
exactly.
can be turned around. And it's just a matter of having that, taking that time,
exactly.
taking that patience, and also having the parent buy into it to say, hey, I'm not trying to overstep my bounds and take over your role as a parent, but I'm here to help you and help guide you, you know, or if it's a situation where you are unable to say a particular thing or help your child in a situation, I'm here as a mentor to help
mm-hmm.
do that. And if
yeah.
you just reach out to me, I mean, I'm receptive
exactly.
to it, you know. But then we have those parents that
exactly.
are receptive
exactly.
to that. And that's the to me, that's the sad part. When
that's
you have
true.
People who are willing to give you that life rope or, you know, or help you with the, you know, put you in the lifeboat so you won't drown and you don't want it. That's sad to me.
Well, I mean, well, you got to understand. Harriet Tubman said she's freed 1,000 slaves, and she would have freed more had they known they were slaves. You can't save somebody that doesn't know that they're not needed being saved is needed. So we have to first show them, which is why I always I teach and preach from a holistic approach, meaning I share the entire picture so that they're now making an educated decision as opposed to a narrow-minded one. Because
mm-hmm.
we have a tendency of allowing our life experiences to allow us to assume that everybody has the same experience or that is the way that life is. And with that, we're just making a...
I don't mean to interrupt you, brother, but you said something.
Fine.
It just had an eyebrow going. You know, you said something about a lot of times that they need help or kind of, I guess, if I'm paraphrasing them right, kind of showing them that why, you know, they should look at life different. Like, you have a lot of young people that figure, well, why are you helping me? I don't need no help. Like, yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like
mm-hmm.
you said,
yeah.
with Harriet Tubman, a lot of people didn't realize they were slaves. I mean, I think you nailed it, especially with our society that we live in. And, you know, Brother Big Ed, I know you know, can relate to this as well. A lot of our young people don't even realize that they need help. And because they're so used to, you know, it's okay
mm-hmm.
to walk with your pants below your ass cheeks. Excuse my language, but I got to keep it real.
yeah.
It's okay
mm-hmm.
to do that. It's okay to disrespect our women out here. You know, it's okay to do that. Oh, what do you mean? I don't need no education. I'm making, you know, making 3 G's on the hood. You know, you can't retire off of that, brother. I mean, but a lot of them don't understand that. They don't see that. So, you know, I think you nailed it, and I love how you just put it out there like that. A lot of people don't realize, sure, the young people don't realize they need help, and even our older people. Let me keep it,
mm-hmm.
keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's some older
yeah,
people
exactly.
that don't really. I was once that person, and I'm not ashamed to say, but the more I've learned and I've been around different different people, I have learned that, hey, listen, you know what's working for me is not working. Let me change my environment. Just
yeah.
open up the brand new door. From blessing and you know, how do you, I how you say, bring that light to people that feels comfortable in their own, if I'm saying it right.
Mm-hmm.
What was the question?
Mm-hmm. Could you break
the
it
question?
Up
is,
on
I
me?
Mean, the question is basically what you just said. Like, you know, I'm sorry, my apologies, guys. You know, I have a new set. My apologies. Let me fix my mic.
It's all right.
All right, testing 1, 2. Everybody hear me?
Yep,
yeah,
we hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You know, how do you bring to light if someone's in the dark and they're comfortable with what they're doing? How do you get them to see that they need help?
Oh, that's good. Well, first, what people mess up at all the time is, I mean, they come from a good place, but they mess it up because nothing works without a relationship. I have people that bring their kids to me, and they're like, this is what's going on with my son. Fix him. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. I have to build a relationship with this kid and make him trust me first. And once he trusts me because of the relationship that we built, then we can take those little steps. And then I build relationships with the parents. You got to build relationships. Mm-hmm. We just want to just go ahead and fix everything. Well, it takes time to fix and heal things. And you have to start with a relationship. And I'm intentional because I'm intentional by mentoring kids and coaching parents. I coach parents with as far as relationships with just being intimate with another partner, and I coach children pretty much about the same things, so that these children are going to eventually be adults, and they're going to take my teachings and teach it to their children, and then I'm teaching the adults different things that will become habit that they will in turn teach their children, and then everybody else will just be met in the middle by those people that I'm helping. So I'm helping both of them with a game plan intentionally. So I'm planting seeds in both so that they will eventually get into everyone. But back to what I was saying, you have to get a relationship first. You can't just say to somebody, man, what are you doing with your child? They jacked up. I see why they act the way that they do. Whoa, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You don't even know me. I just dropped my son off here. You right. don't do that. You build a rapport, and you have to put yourself, this is something that I try to teach you, especially about leadership. You have to put yourself in a predicament where you, how do I say this, where you force somebody to realize your value. Mm. Because until you have value and you become an authority to them to where they feel like you have something to offer, it's not until then that they will listen to you.
Right.
So you have to. I had a young lady who she just took over like some kind of choir. She was named the lead person of a choir or something like that. And she said the people won't listen to me. They just keep doing whatever they do. I said, well, first of all, they don't respect you. I said, mm-hmm. two, you know, you keep talking about your position as opposed to showing them that you deserve your position for them to be mm-hmm. to even want to listen to you. So I said, there's one girl that you told me that is giving you the most problem. What I need you to do is figure out where her weakness is, but your strength is. Then question her about that weakness, not in a rude manner, but ask her to explain that quote-unquote thing that she's not good at in front of the class. She's going to stumble. You politely just go in and help her, say, oh, I didn't know you didn't know that. Share that with the rest of the class, and you will immediately gain respect from from the other students. And the girl, she can't do nothing but respect the fact that you knew something that she didn't. And then work from there. But you have to create a place where they just respect who you are as a person and are willing to listen to you based on the information that you have to offer. And I tell people that all the time. People throw this whole thing, the word friend so loosely, and it just mm-hmm. hurts me to no end. And I tell people this all the time. First of all, a friendship is give and take. If everything you do is give in this thing that you call a friendship, that is not friendship. That is community service.
Mm.
If you don't get anything back from what you're giving, that is not a friendship. It is community service. It's working for free. You're not getting nothing. There's nobody that, and my mother used to think that I was so rude in my thought process when I said that. The only people I add into my circle are people that have access to things that I cannot get to by myself. Because mm-hmm. otherwise, I cannot grow in my worth or my value based on the relationships that I have. Coincidentally, she was out of work for 3 years, and I'm like, what's going on? Why don't you get your friends to help you out? But, oh, I'm sorry, they're in the same boat you're in. you can't. They don't have any access to different places that they can refer you to help you move on from your situation. You surrounded yourself with people that you felt better than, or that you felt the smartest, so that mm-hmm. you could feel good about yourself, as opposed mm-hmm. to surrounding yourself with people that mm-hmm. know more than you, so that you can grow into a better you and continue mm-hmm. to grow, and as well as provide them with information so that you all are growing.
Now, it's deep you said that, bro. I mean, what are you saying about that person that hangs around people like that?
That they're going to be who they are. Whatever they are now is what they'll be for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow. That wow. Wow.
Exactly.
That's wow.
It's a guy. I went to the barbershop, man. He asked me, you know me, Nas. You asked me a question. I'm going to give you the answer.
Let's go. No, sugarcoat it, brother.
I went to the barbershop. I had a book in my hand, like I always do. He said, "Dag, man, you always got a book in your hand. You must love to read." I said, "Actually, I don't. I said, I just love good conversation." He said, "So what you're saying is the stuff that we talk about in the barbershop is not good conversation?" I said, "Exactly." Unfortunately, I have to pay for good conversation. It's so hard to find that I have to buy a book to stimulate my mind.
Mm.
And he was like, "Dang, that's cold." What they do, they just went on about arguing who was better, I think LeBron James or somebody else. I'm like, that adds no value to your life. And it,
exactly.
And it sure doesn't add value to mine. The things that you guys are passionate about and arguing about, for one, you don't get a check about. You're endorsing and marketing all these people that don't even think about you, and you're mad about stuff and losing money because you're betting on them over people that you don't know. So mm-hmm. I was like, unfortunately, I have to pay for good conversation. It's hard to find. I literally look for it. I look
okay.
for good conversation. It is so
okay.
hard to find.
But, you know, a lot of our young people and even our people our age and older, I mean, maybe they're not aware. Maybe they've been around, a cycle of, how you call it, just being stuck in the rut, if I'm saying it
correct.
Oh,
that's exactly what it is. That's
mm-hmm.
exactly what it is.
Stuck
and
in the rut.
I mean,
that's it.
You talked
one
about
year.
It earlier, and that's my whole point, man. I deal with the people that I mentor and the young men that I mentor in Norfolk. The first thing, my first session with them was, "How many of you all from Norfolk?" Everybody raised their hand. I said, "How many of you all have been outside of Norfolk?" Nobody raised their hand. I'm like, all right, let me rephrase the question. Have any of y'all been to Virginia Beach? 20 minutes from Norfolk. No. Have any of y'all
really?
Been to Chesapeake? No. Have any of y'all been to... It's, all these cities are all connected and they're close, but they've never been outside of their city. But we're wondering why... They have no kind of outlook or options.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what they're doing is they go to school in their location, then they go home and wonder, which house am I going to live in this project when I get older? Because that's all they think they have.
And that's the sad part, because when you talk about different experiences or going to different cities to experience culture or just within your own city, they're like, go to the library, go to the museum. Why do I want to do that for? It's like, okay, you have to broaden your mind. You have to open up your mind to different influences. You have to
yeah.
be able to receive something positive than what you see on the street corner with, you know, with the regular people in the hood, because if you look at it, you know, realistically, okay, and within a year, 6 months, them same people you see on the street corner hustling is going to be sitting in somebody's jail, whereas you have an opportunity to open your mind to something positive, something different, and something culturally that will feed you even more, that's deeply rooted, and say, wow, I didn't know we had this in our community. Oh, wow, where else can I go? Where else can
wow.
I learn about the history?
Now, hold on.
See, that's our job, though. That's our job. That is our job. Because, look, what happens is what they see, that is what they feel is the culture. Now, look at it. Think about it.
Yeah,
just
there
take
you
your
go.
Time to think about it. We're in 2013. People aspire to go to jail.
That is the reason why I use football as a tool, because at this level, if you had told me back when I first started that through football I would have been able to, number one, travel, I would have looked at you and laughed, because I would have said, oh, the only way you travel is through the NFL or college, big time college. But this level of football allows them to travel, and they get to experience the different aspects. You know, now as you can back this up, you know, when we took a group of guys down to Florida, you know, the guys had a great time, and it was something that, you know, that they truly appreciated, they experienced, they got to see other teams and interact with other guys, and they learned certain things. They got out of what I call the crab in the barrel mentality, where, you know, others are always pulling others down instead of trying to push and then wait for them to reach their hand back and pull them out.
Exactly.
I agree. I totally agree. I definitely agree. My son, when he had an opportunity, he was blessed to, I guess, get a scholarship to go on this, hike from Nevada to, I guess, to some town, but whatever. It was about 100 miles, but he never been really out of Jersey. He enjoyed it. He was out there. He hiked. It was a week out in the woods. But it opened his mind. It allowed him to experience different things, diverse cultures out there. So that trip alone, my son became more of a man. He came back a man. So I could definitely relate to you, Big Ed and Eddie and, you know, Rave, about, you know, experiencing outside what's in your zone or that rut that you're in. I definitely can relate to that.
Can I challenge you all a little further than taking them outside of that? What about traveling intellectually? Traveling mentally to a different place. That is so powerful. You can travel in a book. You can travel so many different ways from actually physically going to another place. If you can get that person's mind stimulated and get them thinking outside of the box, which is why I love Raven's show, because that is her intent behind her work, to actually get people to think outside of the box. That is traveling in itself. That is actually... just going to another place intellectually and growing at the same time, and it's more powerful than any kind of traveling that you can, because what's going to happen if they lose out on football?
Right.
What if they don't make the team? What if they hurt their Achilles tendon or something like that, and football is no longer a hope? What do they have to fall on? They can't travel anymore? No, you can. If I teach you how to think in a manner that you can transcend from the actual situation, the locale that you are in, then I have empowered you to escape from many things that you're dealing with in life. And that is our job. That is our
job. I agree.
To create people that are no longer robots, because that's all that we are nowadays. We allow TV and just people to say stuff, and I'm listening like, are y'all kidding me? Y'all bought that? y'all really fell for that? Like, I hear it all the time. People are like, oh, no, the economy is booming. People are spending more. No, they're not. I'm buying the same thing that I used to buy for $80 for $160 now. I'm not spending more. I have to spend more to eat what I had to make it last week. That's not the economy spending more. That's the economy being zipped because they have to pay more for the product. So listen to people's words and analyze stuff before we just receive it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm empowering my children to just, and the people that I consult via relationships to shift their way of thinking, to challenge the status quo and see, well, wait a minute, something's fishy about this, what you just said. Just like I had a little boy yesterday, I said, well, my teachers don't like me, so I don't go to class. You know how often I hear that? It irks me every time. I was like, well, answer me this. I said, if your teacher doesn't like you, would she like to put an F on your paper? He's like, yeah. So why would you give her that pleasure? If your teacher doesn't like you, get an A in her class. I said, I had a teacher that could not stand me in college in math, and she didn't like me because she would write stuff on the board. I'm like, why are you doing all that? All you need to do is this, this, and this, and you can get the answer. And the students started coming to me instead of her to get help with the meds. So she started, like, throw shots at me and stuff, and I knew she did not like me. So I was like, oh, you don't like me? I made sure that I got every single answer right on every test that she gave, and what I would do is I would turn the test into her and say, you can use this as a key to grade the rest of the papers if you like, because they're all right. And she would turn beat red, and I see my paper when I got it back with the pen mark next to each problem because she was studying, trying to find something wrong with it. That's power. She can't take your mind away. If you want to get a teacher back that doesn't like you, get all A's. And throw it at her face. She's loving the fact that you're not coming to class. She's loving the fact that you're not doing your homework. Flip it. You have the power. You have so much power in your situation.
I mean, you know that right there, and I think you said it as well, Eddie, that's why, you know, when me and you talked before and I talked to Raven, you know, I do a lot of things with my community. You do a lot of things with your community. Big Ed does a lot of things in his community. You know, I just want to be a part of, I'm going to say a part of, because there's a lot of good brothers out here busting their butt trying to uplift and help our community. You know, and that's why, you know, I had a vision, and I see what your vision is, and I just want to network with brothers like yourself as well, the lovely Miss Raven and all those who want to help our community to try to give a voice of empowerment, not just talk about it, but be about it.
I'm
a man of action. You know, I'll say a couple of words here and there, but my whole thing is I'm a type of person. I'm in the street. I'm talking to you. Big Ed's been in the street. Yourself, you in the street. You know, we're out here. We're not just talking about it. You know, and that's the whole vision that we all have right now. And you know, whatever it takes, hook or crook, it's going down. And I'm going to do it, help as many brothers and young sisters that I possibly can, because that me personally, that's what God wants me to do. And I'm going to honor him because he's blessed me with my family. So it means a lot when I have brothers like you, Big Ed and Eddie and Raven and Tony, just a lot of other people that have done a lot to try to, you know, help out our young community. And I really appreciate you guys. I really do. And it's not talk no more because I'm out here. I'm doing what I have to do, and I appreciate it. I'm here to support you guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we're here to support you, too.
Yeah.
No
Amen.
Doubt. Amen. No doubt. I mean, and right now, like I told Raven, you know, we talked, you know, before the show and after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brother Eddie, I mean, you know, I don't know if you know, I was blessed to receive an award for helping out the community, 30 years helping out the community.
I
was honored, you know, and I just looked at it as a blessing. I talked to my missus. I look at it as a blessing. You know, Brother Big Ed, we work together many times with these young people, and these young men, their eyes light up. When you tell them to show them the different world, their eyes light up. They always come back and they say, hey, Coach, oh, hey, Wayne, listen, you know, you guys has really helped me. So, you know, no matter what we do in life, I just think that no matter what we do in life, we do affect. We may not affect everybody, but we affect some, and that's good enough for me.
One life is important.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
worked in retail for many years, and I always go by that philosophy, or I don't know if you guys remember the commercial, the shampoo commercial where the one woman told one friend, and that one friend told five friends, and then that five friends told five more friends. So I always feel as though if you just touch that one will go forth and influence five more. And that five more is going to influence five more. So it's in the spirit of paying it forward, because even if we don't see it, we know it's being done, because you can kind of feel the shift in the atmosphere. And I don't want to get too preachy and get on my pulpit, but you know, it's like you feel the shift in the atmosphere when you know you touch at least one, and that one went forward and told five more. And that five more went and told five more. So it's just like that whole, you know, so on and so on and so on and so on. And next thing you know, you influence the generation.
Exactly.
And also, I noticed something y'all said earlier that I wanted to touch on, too, because I have people that come to me about mentoring all the time, because I heard you ask Brother Ed about the whole, you know, sometimes the kids don't listen. Our jobs as mentors is to sow seeds. It's not necessarily to water the seed. It's not necessarily to sit and watch it and see it grow and harvest. Our job is to sow seed. Now, everybody that's on this line right now, they're still having moments where they were like, oh, that's what my mother meant. Oh, that's what my grandfather meant when.
Yeah, I agree.
I say that to say this. Your seed is being planted. It doesn't matter when it germinates. Your job is to sow the seed. It will eventually harvest. You might not see it. It's not your job to see it. It's your job to sow it. Sow the seed and stop looking for the harvest, because you sow the seed. That's all you need to do. Don't look for the harvest. It will come, and you might find out when you are, I don't know, 30 years down the road, like, dang, I forgot. And they're like, Brother Nas, Brother Ed, or Sister Raven, you told me this so many years ago. I get it now. I got it. I mean, it's like you're catching a joke late. It don't matter how late you caught it. You got it. Now you get to laugh.
Exactly.
So our jobs are to sow the seed. Stop worrying about seeing the plants grow, the harvest coming. Just keep sowing seeds. They're falling. I promise you, they're falling. Like I said, don't forget, you're still saying, oh, that's what my grandfather meant. Oh, that's what my coach meant. Oh, that's what, and we're all in our numbers. I ain't asking nobody to say their names. We up there. So my point is, don't get discouraged when you think or assume that it's going in one ear and out the other. Just keep being passionate about sowing seed, knowing that it is landing on good soil. It just sometimes it takes a person a longer time to get it. So
you know, I brother, that's just real words, real words. And you know, I'm gonna challenge you. You know, this panel right here. And those listening, I'm challenging the panel, right? I'm challenging you, the panel, and those listening. You know, it's about helping. About, you know, like you said, it's going out there helping, you know, empowering, helping, you know, not looking for the rewards and stuff like that. If I'm saying it correct, right, Big Ed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Now, I'm challenging. I'm going to keep this going. I'm gonna be dedicated to it. But I need brothers like yourself and sisters like you, along with those listeners, because I got somebody in Brooklyn just text me, like, brother, you know, y'all keep it moving. You know, I'm with you. I got to call him back. Brother Sharif, I got to call him back. He's coming out of Brooklyn. He just hit me on the text, and he's really feeling what we're talking about right now. So, Sharif, if you're listening, we hear you, and you'll network with us a little later. But this movement, I need that. I need that. And whatever we can do between Jersey, New York, and Virginia, let's get it done.
I pose a challenge. Anybody that's listening in the panel that's on the phone right now, I dare you to not say that something is a problem or complain about something that you are not taking the time or doing something to provide a solution for. I dare you to stop living life with the mentality that, dang, these kids don't know what this generation is all jacked up without you doing something about what you're complaining about. I dare you. That's my dare to you. I dare you to do it. I dare you to stop complaining about stuff that you won't do crap about to try to fix. That's my dare to the panel and anybody else that's listening. I can't stand people that don't like, oh, I don't like that idea or whatever, but you don't have an alternate solution to do something about whatever you're talking about.
That so sounds like some of the older women in my church when I was growing up.
Exactly. I dare you. And that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. If you're a pastor or whatever,
about,
you out here, if you're listening on the phone right now and you're a pastor or you own a church or whatever, The dying words of a church is, we never did it like that before. Stop fighting and resisting change. We are in a world that is crying for help, but we will not address the issues in the church because it's too taboo or whatever. Who better to address these issues than the church? Stop being scared to talk about.
Hello.
Talk about sex. stop being scared to have HIV things out in front of the church and passing out condoms. We know they having sex. I understand we want to preach abstinence, but what are we doing to prevent them from getting the diseases or not having children?
Tom, you got to, you know something, but these pastors are gonna come at me like, listen, brother.
He is so right because we need that. That is a definite challenge that is needed, because why are you going to continue to talk about abstinence and act like it's not happening? It's happening. When you see that 13-year-old strolling up in the church down the aisle and her belly swole up, and you know she wasn't like that 6 months ago. So come on, don't. You know, take the blinders off. We need to talk about it.
I'm gonna challenge all you guys. Eddie, if you're down with it, let's go for it. I want that to be the next topic next week about the church. Let's just go for it, because you know what? I'm passionate about this right here. Big Ed, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, my missus know how I feel about this. I have a problem. You know, when I say this, I have a problem. Pet peeve, however you want to call it, I have a problem where people talk about, you know, God is read scripture from scripture, but yet if you're not a part of that church doing what that church is doing, but yet you turn your nose against that person maybe who's out in the street, or that person, don't get me started, because that's it. That's going to get me started, because I can't stand that. It just gets me going. It really gets me going. Stop yelling. We're here to help our community. But yeah, you don't even let them in the church. Yeah, you don't even let them in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this young man don't know no better. But yeah, no, young man, you need to get away from here. No, Neil, get out of here. Stop it. Or this woman, this young lady who doesn't know how to dress, because mom never taught her, because mom was up in the club or on a pole, excuse me.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
So,
gone.
So she learned that. She's learned behavior. Hold that's on, the whole thing that you've been going to. But the church is turning their nose to them. I mean, I can pay a couple churches right now, but I don't want to get started.
No. I'm looking for a poem. I just wrote a poem sometime last year, and it's called Why Should I Go Back to Church? And it speaks to exactly what it is that you just said, and I'm going to find it and I'm going to read it just so you can have an idea as to how I understand exactly what it is that you're talking about. This is not necessarily how I felt, even though I use scenarios from my life to bring the poem to life. But it was something that I was hoping that it could help someone that that no longer was in church because of how people were treating them would go back to church or consider it. And it's the person's point of view and then God's response to their point of view.
Like that.
So, you know, I like touching on stuff that people don't want to mess with. That's my thing. If you show me an edge, I'm like, where is it at? Give me that edge.
That's what we're doing. We're going there.
I want to go to the edge. Okay. I think I found it. And it goes. It says, I'll never go back to church, and my mind doesn't change like the seasons. It was Christians who kicked me out of the church and then said that I was a heathen. My father was an ordained minister before he went to prison for stabbing my mother. Then he got out and pastored a church before he went back for stabbing another. I'm infected with sin, but they won't let me in, claiming the Bible is their reason. If you call that love and following Christ, then I'm fine with living in treason. They worshiped the pastor all of the time and treated him like a king. He looked at me once. I smiled and said hi, but he never said a thing. So let me get this straight. You want me to say prayers and claim to love Christ in buildings topped with steeples in exchange for me feeling alone in a place of hundreds of Christless people? God's response. Changing your mind would be nice, but your brain is the end of the transformation, not where I would start. I created every organ in your body, and though they are all important, my only interest is in your heart. The story of your father is evidence of my grace and why all faith should be in me instead of man. Though his actions were wrong and wavered the faith of others, even he is a part of my plan. You are infected with sin, but thanks to my son, through him, it won't kill you, and it's possible to be related to me. No need for treason. Study their reason, and you'll learn that my grace is sufficient for thee. Some pastors create an environment for them to be worshipped, but people have free will and do what they want to do. Then the pastor gets exposed, and the church goes downhill, and his worshipers lose faith, just like you. I don't want you to claim Christ. I want you to believe in him, so we'll be related, and you'll look like me. This way, when you are encountered in a building by people who are like you, they'll have a better reflection of me to see.
Mm.
And as far as the locations topped with steeples, those are just the buildings. The churches are the people. That's it.
That's it.
Okay, doors of the church is open. That was off the call.
I'm serious. Eddie, you did it again.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I love when you do that. You know that, right? You know, just you know, I'm not ashamed, you know, to open up my eyes more. But I heard the poem, and I know where you're coming from, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly where you're coming from. You know, those listeners, I'm not trying to put the business out there, but those who've been following, then you'll understand. Do your research. You know, this man is speaking from the heart. It's from the heart what he's coming from. And like
mm-hmm.
you said, and I think this all ties in with accountability, not just male accountability, just accountability overall.
Yep.
You know, knowledge of self, knowledge of what's going on, understand the consequences that we talked about tonight. I think that we really touched on a lot of those issues and topics and discussions. I really believe it all ties in. Because you can't be accountable for self if you don't understand the consequences in life.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. You're right about that.
I think that, you know, you nailed it, and you know I'm appreciative. You know I know my son is like, Dad, y'all going deep. He's over here like, you know, he was over here. He makes a little Malcolm X jokes, but you know, but you know what? At the end of the day, he was listening. He made
right.
his jokes, but he
right.
was listening.
That's right.
He was
that's right.
Made his jokes.
He couldn't call you Malcolm X if he didn't have Malcolm X to compare you to.
Hello.
So he's listening. He's listening, and that's the
mm-hmm.
point. Because you can't make a comparison about something you know nothing about. So
exactly.
he's listening to you. So
exactly.
That's good. That's
exactly.
Good.
The feeding of the mind, the heart, and the souls.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But listen, guys. Listen, we're coming to the tail end of the show. I didn't even realize the time. You guys have been awesome. Raven's Closet. By the way, thank you for sponsoring the show, Miss Raven.
Oh, you're welcome. You are welcome.
Love you.
You know, this
much.
Is my type of show. You know that. It's just an extension of what I do
and
what I did yesterday. So,
for those listening, you know, I mean, my apologies. I want to say publicly, my apologies not getting back to Brother Ed. Me and Raven talked about it. I've been very busy with a new job. I've been blessed. But there's a bigger picture here. God puts you in position. This is me being biblical to those who take you for what it's worth. God puts me in position to do other things. Brother Ed, myself, we're working on something. So this is just a platform for bigger things. And Brother Ed, he deserves his own show. And I'm supporting that, brother. So that's me personally. I think this man is awesome. Big Ed,
mm-hmm.
you know, I love you, man. What you do with the youth in New Brunswick, Franklin, you know, they all look up to you. I mean, I'm talking about grown men, like, you know, really good. Thank you for helping me out. I mean, all you guys make a difference, and I really appreciate it.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we appreciate you, too.
Yeah, I appreciate
I agree.
You.
I agree.
We appreciate you, too. We appreciate everything that you do. And
I
the fact that you brought
anybody.
All of us together, I appreciate
right.
that. Because you got it from all different angles, and we
that's
all
right.
came to the same conclusion. We, you know, we expressed it in different ways, but at the end of the day, we all co-signed an agreement, and we all stand in agreement, but we viewed it in different ways to get to the same point. And that's what I
yeah.
love about this, is that you allowed us to express it, but we all came
mm-hmm.
to the same conclusion.
And you know what? That was actually the vision, part of the vision of the show here, because – we all come from different avenues, different parts of life, and we all have our own different opinions. But it's amazing and a blessing how you can come to the table, the round table,
mm-hmm.
we talk about the issues, put it out there, and discuss it. I mean, people could talk about the issues if they allow the opportunity to talk to one another. Instead of, don't get moves away, I'm not talking to him, you know, or I'm not talking to her, she's not in my cipher, or she doesn't hang with us at work. Or, no, don't get me started about work cliques, that's a whole other issue. Don't get me started. Even in the young people, I don't talk to them because, you know, he's not a blood. Oh, I don't want to go there.
mm-hmm.
On the west side, he lives on the north side or something like that. Or he ain't from this project. That's a whole other issue. But the fact remains that we're able to sit down at the table, talk about the issue, our own thought patterns, our own views, and come up with a consensus. That's why I appreciate you guys.
Well, Nas, I want to tell you, and everybody at the table. First of all, I admire anybody that has the courage to grow up and turn out to be who they really are. So many
mm-hmm.
people end up being who their parents tell them to be, who their friends or cliques think that they should be, who television thinks that they should be. But it's people like you who follow their heart and what God placed in them and their passion, and they make the change. And I just admire everybody that's a part of this movement, because this is a movement, and because it's an epidemic out here, and we need to be a part of the solution and not the problem, and stop complaining about the problems and come up with the solution. So I appreciate you allowing me to be a part of the platform of your movement, I love your spirit and your heart and what it is that you're trying to do, and your intent behind what it is that you're trying to do. A lot of people do it because, you know, they want to be recognized, and they want those trophies and the accolades, but it's not about that. The best thing is, just like we said earlier, is to see that child just do a 180 or change, or just have hope, or start a dream for once in their lives, because they realize that there's something more than what they have or the way that they've been thinking, and then they gain hope. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, you guys, once again, listen, the doors is open always. I need your help. I can't do it alone. I need your help for this movement. Brother Ed, Eddie, Big Ed, need your help. Raven, we already talked.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it goes down with me and you.
No. And you know, please use this platform to expand or do whatever you want to do or communicate. I'm here to support you guys. So please use it at any time. And Brother Ed, I just need you to do me I'm sorry, Eddie, I need you to do me a favor. I need a thought of the day before we close out.
Thought of the day. Wow. My gosh. Man, you put me on the spot.
Just leave us with something that, you know, people got to, you know, expound on, think on.
Let me see. Give me a
you
topic.
You could do it.
Just throw a
got,
topic.
Got
throw
about,
a topic.
Got
if you throw a topic. If you saw a topic, I'd be able to do it. I need a topic, though. Something, just give me
accountability. What are we talking about right now? Accountability.
Oh, wow. You got about 20 seconds.
Okay. All right. Accountability. If you don't do it, who will? Stop trying to be other people. Because if you're trying to be other people, who's going to be you? What is your job? Do your job. And everything else will fall into place. We're so busy worrying about other people's jobs. If you do your job, then you are taken care of, and those who are connected to you will do the same. So stop thinking about other people or trying to be other people, because if you're trying to be other people, who in the world is going to be you? And that's it. That's all I got for you.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Once again, you guys listen to Man of Talk shows about accountability. Went from male accountability to just overall accountability and a consequence. We appreciate everybody listening. Thank you, Raven. Thank you, Big Ed. Thank you, Eddie. You know, let's talk later. And Raven, this is your commercial. I appreciate you sponsoring us. So we're gonna play this before we get on out.
Okay. All thank right. you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Show has been sponsored by Team Fox. Mind, Real Talk, the Real Note, Raven Closet Talk Show.
Shadow.
Good night.
Good night.
Night, everyone.